So today I'm going to be talking about wisdom, how it comes, and especially how we see it in the book of Job. Now, as parents, it feels like wisdom comes and goes. Like when your kids are 3 to 5, they look at you like you possess all wisdom, like you're the fount of wisdom. Then they go off to school, and from 6 to 8, then teacher is the fount of all wisdom. And then they get to be teenagers, middle school, and into high school. Then it's their peers who have all wisdom, and then they go off to college. Now, when they're in college, wisdom comes and goes the way they look at you. It usually depends on how much money they need. And then they get married, and then they have kids. And so my daughter's been fostering kids. And so now I get phone calls where she thinks mom is so wise when she asked what to do with this baby. So as in the natural realm, it feels like we don't always know when we're going to have that wisdom. But this is what this passage in Job 28 tells us what wisdom looks like from a spiritual standpoint. So if I can kind of remind you what the book of Job is like. Job has lost everything. He's lost his family. He's lost children. He's lost his job. He's lost his crops. He's lost his livestock. He's lost his livelihood. So he's undergone this tremendous loss. He's experiencing physical pain at this time and mental torment. In the midst of all of this, Job is screaming out, why? So listen to his words. This is what it says in Job 3:23. Why does God bother giving light to the miserable? Why does he bother keeping bitter people like me alive? He is so devastated. He's asking, why does God even maintain his life and his breath? He's asking, what's the point of life? What do you do when it doesn't make sense? And when God blocks all sense of meaning to your life, what do you do? So as we've gone through chapters 1 through 27 of the book of Job, you have these cycles. First what happens is Job loses everything. And then Job cries out. And then his friends, they get to speak into what's been happening into his life. Now, I call them friends loosely. You could call them frenemies, because they are not always supportive and encouraging of Job. So what happens? You've got this cycle. Job speaks, then his friends speak, and it's just Job's exhausted by these verbal blows that he's getting from his friends. And it's like his emotional stamina has become depleted. So chapter 28 is kind of a transitional book. These three cycles of talks are ending, and the book takes a whole different tone. Instead of this argumentative tone, it kind of slows down, and it reads so much differently than the rest of the book of Job. It seems similar to the book of Proverbs and to wisdom literature. And in this chapter, Job is crying out, what is the wisdom I can find in the midst of my suffering? And he's lamenting the lack of wisdom that he's heard from his friends, because he wants to find that wisdom, but he feels like he has not heard it in his friend's voice. And so he asks this question of God, why? Now, his friends are more than willing to tell him why. But Job, as he listens, he's like, that's not why. That's not what I'm looking for. And they've told him it's because of the sin in your life, Job. And Job's like, I know that's not what it is. And so he's defended himself. He's cried out. But he comes to this place and he's still saying, God, but I still have to know, where do I find wisdom in what's been going on? So suffering's a really difficult thing to go through. But it's even harder when you feel like it doesn't make any sense. And so what we see Job doing in chapter 28, he's trying to find, what's the meaning? What wisdom can I attach to what I've been going through? So we have a video clip. And I want to kind of use this as an illustration. I'm going to have to.
How do I know? And a lot of times when people hear the phrase, how do I know? The next thing they say is what? How do I know what? But the key really isn't to know what. The key is to know why. Because when you know your why, you have options on what your what can be. For instance, my why is to inspire people to walk in purpose. My what is stand-up comedy. My what is writing books. My what can be going out with some friends to eat. In fact, another what that is moving me towards my why is a web series that we have out now called Break Time. So every Wednesday at 3 o'clock, you should subscribe to the channel. We do a series called Break Time on YouTube. So 3 o'clock, we drop a new episode. One episode in particular I'm about to show you a clip to. We were in Winston-Salem. So Break Time, this is how it works. I travel the country. I do stand-up comedy, probably an hour, hour and a half at an event. And in the middle of my show, I'll just sit down and start talking to the audience. And funny just happens. Or I'll meet somebody who's really interesting. So I met this one guy, and he said that he teaches music at a school. I was like, all right, you teach music, you know, can you sing? And then I'm just going to show you the clip. Check it. So you're a musical director. Cool.
Yes, sir.
All right, so let me get a couple bars of like Amazing Grace. Can you do the first part of that? Go ahead.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Wow. That bro could sing. You know what I'm saying? What you give me the version is if your uncle just got out of jail, you got shot in the back when you was a kid. I'm just saying, let me see the hood version real quick, if you know which version I'm talking about, just see if that exists. Let me see what you got.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
That's a great clip, right?
The first time I asked him to sing.
Oops, sorry. That's good. So here's the thing. When you give meaning to something, all of a sudden there's more depth. All of a sudden there's more richness. All of a sudden things change when you attach meaning to it. And so that's what Job's crying out for. He's crying out for meaning in the search of that meaning when he looks at what he's going through. Okay, so I told you the tone of chapter 28, it changes from argumentative and brusque to this place where it's calmer, more peaceful, and it's searching. But you need to realize 28, this chapter, it's a transition. And when we're going through transitions, we need wisdom. So wisdom is essential when you're experiencing loss. If you deal with loss and you don't gain some wisdom, then what happens is it will lead you into greater loss. To deny God's access to your heart during these times of loss, He's your greatest resource. He's the greatest place you can find for wisdom. And this text tells us gold and silver, they don't have anything compared to wisdom. Knowledge is one thing, but wisdom is worth more than gold. And he says, it's this idea that you can learn to make decisions, but you need wisdom in order to make a decision. And when you are making decisions with wisdom, it multiplies things. And when you're making decisions without wisdom, it diminishes things. And so you just see this picture of mining, that Job's going after wisdom, even if he has to begin digging for it. 90% of all our decisions are not governed simply by facts. 90% of the decisions we make depend upon the wisdom that we've gained. So what's a wise decision? What's a wrong decision? And you know, the decisions can change the course of our life. And so we have to learn to get in this cycle where we're moving our decision making into a place of wisdom. Because if we're making our decisions without wisdom, then we get into that opposite cycle where we make a decision, have a loss, make a decision, and have a loss. To make an unwise decision creates a lot of crises in our lives, and it results in loss. And Job's in this place. He's like, I can't take one more loss. I can't handle it. I have to find wisdom for whatever it cost. So he gives us this picture of a mine, and he's like, you're thinking, why would we be talking about mines and talking about wisdom? But mines are hard places where you have to, like, crush rock, and you have to dig, and you have to take an axe. A mine's this mysterious, dark place, but where you're going for something that's precious. And so that's what Job, he's using this picture for wisdom, that it's this mysterious, dark place that he's in, but that if he can dig through it, if he can penetrate the rock, he believes he'll find something precious. So a mine is a challenging place, and it kind of even gives us this picture where they're cutting shafts in the rock, and they're having to dig out in a difficult place, and it's requiring all this effort so that they can find this valuable resource, which is wisdom. Now, precious stones come from these rocks, gold can come from these rocks, iron, silver. And listen to what it says in verse 9 and 10. People attack the flinty rock with their hands. They lay bare the roots of the mountains. They tunnel through the rocks so that their eyes may see all its treasures. They search the sources of the rivers, and they bring hidden things to light. So just like treasure is hard to find, wisdom is hard to find. And it's hard work. And it's almost like that hard work you picture in that passage. It's Job's longing. He's like grasping. He's like going through the dark. He's reaching. He's digging. He's doing whatever it takes to find wisdom in his dark place. And here's a verse from Job 23:3. Oh, that I knew where I might find God, if only I could go to his dwelling. And so he has this dangerous search, and even his faith feels like it's rocking at times as he keeps pushing himself to find this place of wisdom. Now, here's the thing I want you to think about. Every one of us is going to pick a place where we're going to dig. We're either going to dig in and make our career work, or we're going to dig in and get the schooling that we wanted, you know, get our master's, get our doctor. We're going to dig in somewhere. Sometimes we are going to dig in and say, I'm going to find that one true love. I'm going to dig in till I find that relationship that meets my needs. Everybody digs. And so our choice is we get to decide where we're going to dig. And so today I'm just want to present to you that an important place to dig is the place of wisdom. So Job cries out, where can wisdom be found? Where does understanding dwell? So he poses this question, and he says, you know, mere mortals, we don't even understand how important wisdom is. We can't hardly even find it in our midst because nobody values the wisdom as much as it should be valued. And he says, you can look for wisdom in the depths of the sea. You can look for wisdom in the depths of the earth, but you're not going to find it there. Wisdom will not be found there. And then he says, even the birds fly high, But from that vantage point, they do not see wisdom. So this part, I don't know, it's my sense of humor, but this part gets to me. It even says, well, we're going to consult death. Let's ask death and destruction. And hasn't Job known death and destruction? They're not his friends, but he has met them. And he says, he asked them, where does wisdom come from? And they answer, well, we've heard rumors. We've heard suggestions about where wisdom comes from, but we have never truly met wisdom. So God's making it clear to Job. There's no price, there's no precious metal, there's no gold, there's no silver that can purchase the wisdom that Job is longing for. So I'm going to use a quote by C.S. Lewis. And there was a Russian cosmonaut while Lewis was alive, and he went into space. And then he kind of sarcastically said, well, I was out in space, but I never saw God there. And Lewis responded that this cosmonaut looking into space and thinking he might see God, that's like Shakespeare or Hamlet. You know, Shakespeare's the writer, but Hamlet goes up into the attic and he thinks he can find God by being in the attic. And Lewis suggests, you know, Hamlet can't find God there. It's Shakespeare that is like God because he's the author. And so Lewis suggests that God is more like the author of the story. He's not something that the character can just find, but he's the author. He's the creator of the story. And for Hamlet to find God, Shakespeare would have to reveal God to him. And so that suggestion I want to make to you today is for you to find wisdom and to find God, God is going to have to reveal it to you. He's the playwright. He's the one that reveals through his personal revelation what wisdom is. God created the universe. He brought it into being. He wrote the story. He's been weaving all through the universe, all through his story. He weaves wisdom. Wisdom is even a character that's presented in Proverbs. And so God writes wisdom into Job's story. God writes wisdom into our story. And for centuries, people have looked to Job for the wisdom they need in their most difficult times. So wisdom, if you're going to really find it, you got to lean into your story. That's what Job is doing, and that's what I found personally in my own life. Mike and I, when we were just a little bit under 30, we went to Mexico City. We went as missionaries. We went, you know, with these bright, shining faces thinking we'll take on the world. But what we found is that we got kicked in the butt. And we weren't prepared for the spiritual warfare we would face in Mexico City. We weren't prepared for what it'd be like to do ministry and team. We weren't prepared for the fact that there were cracks in our marriage, that when we went through such pressure, the cracks began to just make our marriage fall apart. So one day when we're in Mexico City, our team leader came to my husband and said, Mike, I've grown to hate you. Now, our team leader was struggling in Spanish, and my husband loves languages. He had like all kinds of Greek and Hebrew, and language just came to him easily. And so my husband, being a red-blooded American male, someone said he hated him. My husband decided, I'll hate you more. And so it became like a competition, and a very unhealthy one. And so we came to this point where things were so bad in our marriage. Like, I wouldn't tell Mike when something went bad because I was afraid it would hurt him. And he wouldn't tell me when something went bad because he was afraid it would hurt me. And it was such a bad cycle we were getting into in our marriage. But the all-wise God, who's the beginner, the author, and the finisher of our story, he was still at work. So we had this terrible habit when we were at the worst in our marriage. If we were angry, Mike would call me a name, I would call him a name, and the names would just escalate. And then we would try to be so creative with the names we came up for each other, we would hope we would fall, you know, we would just start laughing at these names we created. And it was an evil competition. And, you know, we would laugh, but then you go to bed at night and you're remembering, you're hearing those names still in your head. And in the middle of the night, we'd have to face our own pain and our own hearts and realize we are falling apart. Our pain is destroying us. So at one point, Mike got so desperate, he was ready to commit suicide, and we separated for several months. And if the author of our story hadn't been at work, if I didn't learn how to turn to him and give him this pain, I could not be here telling you today what I'm telling you. I have found wisdom in the deepest, darkest places. But I have found, though those places were horrible, that wisdom is better than gold. So Job's learning God's written wisdom into every story. And so in desperation, he's trying to figure out, okay, Lord, what's the wisdom in my story? In chapter 3, he's like even crying out, God, why don't you just kill me? Why don't you rewind my life from the beginning? Why did you even let me have life? He's looking at these mines and these minerals, and he's saying, okay, if I have to dig, how long will I have to dig, God, till I can find wisdom? And verse 12 says, but where's wisdom found? Where's the place of understanding? He's asking, can I have a conversation with the person who wrote this story? Can I talk to the author now? Can we pause? Because I really need to talk to the one who's in charge. And God's letting him just cry out his deepest pain. And God writes wisdom into every story. And Job had to turn to that, and you and I have to do the same. So remember that cosmonaut who's looking out into space is looking, saying, I don't see God there. But why would he find wisdom there? Job tells us if you go to the deepest part of the sea, you're not going to find wisdom there. And he says if you dig to the deepest part of the ground or the deepest part of the earth, you're not going to find wisdom there. So why should a Russian cosmonaut think that he's going to find wisdom in space? God's view of the earth and everything under the heavens, verse 24 tells us, God can see everything. He sees wisdom and he knows wisdom. And he's explaining weather. So weather's a very hard thing to understand. And so God explains weather, and listen to it in verse 25 and 26, 27 too. God established the force of the wind, and God measured out the waters. God is the one who decrees the rain, and God makes the path for the thunderstorm. He looked at wisdom. He appraised it. He confirmed it, and he tested it. At creation, God formed this earth. He constructed it. He established wisdom when he established the universe. And he saw it. He appraised it. He confirmed it. He tested it. So God's creatively at work in your story and my story, and he's testing wisdom. He's affirming wisdom. He's establishing wisdom in you, and then he's allowing it to be tested. So here's what happened with Job. God saw wisdom in Job. And when God saw the wisdom, he went to Satan and said, hey, Satan, have you considered my servant Job? See, I see wisdom in Job. He's blameless. He's an upright man who shuns evil. So wisdom is spotted in Job, which you think would elevate him. But when wisdom spotted in Job, it begins this difficult process. And then once God sees the wisdom in Job, he appraises it. And he tells the worth of what he's seen in Job. And here's what he tells Satan. There's no one on this earth like Job. There's no one on this earth who loves me like Job does. So he's confirming wisdom. And the next 25 chapters, we see Job wrestling with God in the darkest places. And then I like this word confirm. Confirm means to establish the truthfulness. And the enemy tried to discount the wisdom in Job, but what it only ended up doing was confirming what God had already seen, that Job had deep wisdom. God allows tests to come so that he can confirm the wisdom that he's placed in us. So if you look at your sheet, I kind of have the story from Elizabeth Elliot. And Elizabeth Elliot, she knows a lot about suffering. If you remember anything about her story, her husband was part of a missionary team of five who went into Ecuador, and they were in the jungle trying to reach an unreached people group, and they were presenting the gospel to them, and all five of those missionaries were killed. So she knows what it's like to suffer. She lost her first husband because he was martyred on the mission field, and then she lost her second husband to cancer. And she says that the deepest... Here's what she says. She cries out in the deepest waters and the hottest fires, but from those places, the deepest things that she knows about God have come forth. So a number of years ago, she was visiting some friends in northern Wales. And she tells the story that she's looking at these sheep herders. And they are bringing the sheep in, and they're putting them in a sheep dip. Now... You know, it's hard for us unless you're shepherds to know what a sheep dip is, but it's this big vat filled with pesticide. So what she says is you have to push the sheep all the way down underneath the pesticide, and you have to push them down into that vat so that these parasites won't stick to their skin any longer. And it's ordered to protect the sheep, but for the sheep, it's an agonizing process. So they push the sheep down, the sheep's heads come up, then they push them down again, and then the sheep dogs are all barking, coming around them, and they push their heads down again, and it's all so that they can be protected from these parasites that are trying to, you know, attach to them and steal from their energy and life. So she asked this question of herself as she's watching this process. And she says, I wonder what it's like to feel like your shepherd's trying to kill you. And then she remembered the death of her husband. And she said, oh yeah, I remember. She said, sometimes it feels like the God who's saving you is the God who's trying to kill you. It's just, it's so painful sometimes the lessons God has to teach us. It's so painful sometimes the places that he takes us so that we can learn wisdom. But wisdom comes from God. And it's the fear of the Lord, it says at the end of this passage, it's the fear of the Lord that takes us and really produces wisdom. So Job's letting us know there's this spiritual source. Just like Elizabeth Elliot is letting us know there's this spiritual source. And as we look there, I mean... It's hard to go through these things, but it would be even harder to go through them in wisdom not to have been found. So sometimes when God sees wisdom in us, he puts us in the sheep dip. And sometimes as he's trying to praise the wisdom that's in us, he's pushing us down in the sheep dip deeper. And sometimes when he wants to confirm wisdom in us, he's allowing those sheepdogs to come around so that they'll keep us in that sheep dip and we won't crawl out. It's been a hard couple years for me. My husband's gone through some illness. My father's died. Both my kids are going through some tough things. The church is growing, but that creates more challenges. And what I've been realizing is I need to stay in the sheep dip if he's putting me there. Because I need the wisdom so desperately that he has for me. Finally, he comes and he tests that wisdom. And here's what it says in Job 23, verse 10. He knows the way that I take. And when he has tested me, I will come forth as gold. See, if he's seen wisdom, if he's confirmed wisdom, if he's appraised wisdom and he's tested it, then when it all comes out, it comes out like gold in your life. Now, my daughter's on staff of a church in Atlanta, Georgia, and I'm so proud of her. At her age, at 32, I already feel like I see such wisdom in her life, and I feel like I have so much to learn from her. But she loves kids and she works with kids. And her first job when she got married, she was living in Pennsylvania at that time. And she was working with this boy. He was about 13, 14, and he was severely autistic. His father had killed his mother in front of him, and then the father had committed suicide. So as my daughter's walking alongside and helping with some occupational therapy things for this boy, he's living with his grandparents. And I remember my daughter calling me saying, "Mom, it's so dark in that house. It feels so hopeless every time I come into this house." And she asked me to pray with her, and she began to ask God, "What can I do to change this situation just a little bit?" So here's what my daughter came up with in her wise wisdom that she's found. She started showing up for the appointment every week, 15 or 20 minutes early. And she would sit down with Grandma, and she would have a cup of coffee, and they'd eat a cookie, and she just showed the love of God to Grandma and Grandpa. And things began to change. Just that amount of time, just her showing that she cared. It was interesting because Grandma would make a plate of cookies for her. Then Grandpa would go out and work on her car for her while she was doing these exercises with this young boy. Remember the song that I showed you? You remember how we sang it? But then he said, "Give me the real version. Give me the version of like when your uncle's been killed and you've been shot in the back. Sing that song." And remember how it changed. See, as my daughter ministered to this family doing just exercises for our autistic child, but when she attached the meaning of what they were going through to what she was doing, wisdom changed everything in their relationship. What I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, is wisdom changes everything. It's more than gold. It's more than silver. It's important because it addresses a situation and it can find the gold in the situation. Wisdom can find it. It's already done the work. So when a difficult situation comes, then wisdom looks at it and says, "There's where the gold is." Wisdom is hard, but it's worth every tear, and it's worth every dark place that you're in. At the end of this chapter, the last verse we read, verse 28, it says, "And he said to the human race," this is God speaking, "the fear of the Lord, that's wisdom. And to shun evil is understanding." So this is kind of like a postscript to the chapter, and it's God speaking. What I love about this is it's the first time God's spoken to Job. It's the first time he's heard his voice. When you read this book, we've heard from God, but he's talking to Satan. Job didn't hear any of that. The first words that Job hears are, "The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom." And I like it, too, that the one who gets the final word about wisdom, the final voice we hear in this chapter, it's God's voice. And it says, "The fear of the Lord, that's wisdom." So I like talking about my daughter a lot. So my daughter Anna is in the sheep dip, too. She's been trying for 5 years to get pregnant. And I wrote this sermon a year ago, and about a year and a half ago, she'd had a little boy for 6 months, and she was fostering kids, so she's fostering him and had him for 6 months, and it was fun to FaceTime him every night, and every night they put music on, worship music, and danced. So you see this little boy, he's like shaking his shoulders, dancing, and my daughter's dancing around the house with a band in there, having so much fun. But at the end of that 6 months, she had to go to court. She had to let that little baby go. And I watched her go through the sheep dip. And you know, I'm her mom. I don't want her to go to that place. But I know enough about wisdom, I know I can't take her out of that place. I have to let God have his full work. And I remember her calling me saying, "It hurts, Mom, it really hurts, but I am more glad that I gave my life to Kendrick, and that for that 6 months I got to have him and love him and protect him and pray for him." She said, "It was worth it, Mom." And she found the wisdom even that love has as she gave that baby up. And she still calls the family. She still tries to set up meetings with them to visit them. But I've watched such wisdom come from her even as she's gone through these hard places. See, because when you're in the sheep dip, God looks for the wisdom in you, and he looks at it in my daughter. And then he appraises that wisdom, and he says, "I'm producing something in you while you're in the sheep dip." That silver and gold and rubies, they're not even any comparison to what God does in the sheep dip. And then he confirms wisdom, and then he tests it, and then he says, "It comes forth." So today, what I want to ask of you is that you'll continue to remain in the sheep dip till God says it's time to get out. You can't short-circuit God's work. His timing is everything. Now, when he says it's over, please run out. Please leave as quickly as possible when he says it's over. But I want to tell you, the gold that he's produced in my life through those hardest of times, I value it more than anything. I value what he's done in my marriage and how he's put it back together again. I value the lessons that I've learned in that place that I can offer to other couples. I value the wisdom he's given me. And I hope I've been able to give just a piece of that to you today. If you'll close your eyes with me and put your hands out, I'd like to pray. Father, I thank you that even though it's hard for us in that dark place, I thank you that the Lord Jesus has gone to every dark place already. And I thank you, Lord, that the places he dug, the places he reached to, have secured for us this hope that wisdom will be found. I thank you for the lessons of Job. I thank you for what he produced in his life. I thank you for his testimony, Lord. And I ask for each one here that wisdom will come forth. I ask, Lord God, that they will be cheerleaders for wisdom in each other, and that they won't short circuit wisdom, but they will let wisdom have its full course. It'll let it run its all the way through them, and that they'll stand alongside each other cheering, just like when you run a long marathon and you see at the end people on either side cheering. I pray that they will cheer for each other as wisdom is found. And I pray, Lord God, for a great release into this community because of the wisdom that you put in each heart. I thank you, Lord, that wisdom is one of the best evangelism tools around. And I pray that many, many will be drawn to this place because of the wisdom that you have placed here. And I pray that this will be done for your glory. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.